This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Many listening tonight will ask why this effort will succeed when previous operations to secure Baghdad did not.
President Bush tried to answer that question last night. He was describing his plan to commit more American troops to Iraq. He said the extra forces would have extra freedom to move into Baghdad neighborhoods that were off limits.
This time, Iraqi and American forces will have a green light to enter those neighborhoods. And Prime Minister Maliki has pledged that political or sectarian interference will not be tolerated.
We're going to find out this morning how the speech sounded in Iraq and in Washington, where we found NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. Juan, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Got our coffee handy here. Going to try to figure this out. What was the president trying to establish and accomplish with his speech?
Well, I think he still feels that victory is possible. And here you have him trying now to win public support. He's had so many, I think it's over 150 members of Congress in the White House the last few days. He's trying to win public support, political support. He's changed some of the generals involved, so he's trying to win the support of the military leadership. He still believes that he can, even without setting a timetable for withdrawal or setting new conditions for the Iraqi government to hold elections or somehow put in place new laws for equitable distribution of oil, any of that, he can still win this war, and it's going to be his legacy. And so he is literally down to his last straw, and the key to the last straw is gaining popular support.
Anything in this speech that would be new enough to get people to take a second look, though?
That's the issue. As I said, he didn't offer what would have been an easy opportunity for him, which is to say, I'm going to do this, but here's a timetable mm-hmm. by which U.S. troops will be withdrawn if certain benchmarks are not achieved. He didn't do that. He didn't use the cover of the Iraqi study group. And if you look at the poll, Steve, what you see is it's 12% to 18%, so low among Americans who would support an increase in the number of troops in Iraq. At the moment, the Associated Press has him at 27% approval rating in terms of his handling of the war in Iraq. That's the lowest yet. So this is an extraordinarily risky move. And, of course, he's staking more American lives on this. But it's literally what we're talking about with 2 years to go in his term. He's staking his own political life and legacy on this gamble.
And the Democrats who now control Congress are quite confident in challenging the president.
Absolutely. Senator Ted Kennedy came out with a statement saying this is, quote, the same failed course he's pursued, the president has pursued for 4 years. We're hearing the same from Senator Hillary Clinton. What's interesting here, Steve, is that the Democrats are likely to go forward now with a non-binding vote, a resolution, on whether or not the members support a surge. Of course, the Democrats are going to overwhelmingly reject that attack. But what we're also seeing is that a substantial number of Republicans are rejecting it. Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas is in Baghdad, and he has said that he rejects the idea of an increase in the troop numbers. He says that's a military solution when a political solution is required. So what we're seeing is that with the vote likely coming, no practical impact, of course. The president's commander-in-chief, he can do what he likes, but the president's political isolation is increasing to the point where it really seems as if he is in his own world at this point.
Our friends from the New York Times had an interesting analysis of this the other day. You mentioned this is a non-binding resolution. The president can do what he wants, but Democrats would like to get some Republicans on board and get 60 votes, which is enough that they could pass anything through the Senate. If they get 60 votes for this resolution, the implied threat is they could maybe down the line get 60 votes for something that would really stick the president in a corner.
Right, and what that would mean is either you would cap the troop numbers or you would go after funding for the war. And what's interesting here is a change in the tone of the conversation. You know, we're just 2 months after the midterm elections. Many Democrats view that as a mandate for an end to this war effort in terms of their victories. And now you see the Democrats taking a more assertive stance, willing to, for example, push the vote, but also, I think, willing to make the case, despite the fears that they might be portrayed as weak on the war or anti-military. That's at the moment, they are willing now to stand up in a way that we haven't seen on the Iraq war.
Juan, do you have any sense of how long the president thinks he has to show some signs of success here?
Well, what I'm hearing from the people who are his biggest supporters is that the president doesn't want to set any timetable. It's the reason he didn't mention it in the speech last night, because he doesn't believe that a timetable will help. In fact,
No timetables. I understand that. But what I'm asking is there a point beyond which, if the president doesn't have some sign of success to show the American people, he's going to be in even deeper trouble?
Well, Steve, that's why I say this is the last straw. This is, you know, it's like everything, a gambler throwing everything on the table. But there is no one sign. He's not talking about conditions for Maliki, and he's not talking about conditions for victory on the ground in a military operation.
Okay, Juan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.
That's NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, and our analysis of President Bush's plan for Iraq continues at npr.org.